In Los Angeles, I'm Con Rizdahl. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of May. Glad you could be here, everybody. That was Mick Mulvaney right after the gong back there to the director of the Office of Management and Budget, rolling out the Trump administration's FY18 spending plan this morning.
The name on the cover is the New Foundation for American Greatness.
It is just as with the Trump administration itself, unlike many or really most other White House budget proposals.
We're no longer going to measure compassion by the number of programs or the number of people on those programs, but by the number of people we help get off of those programs.
Underlying the whole thing, underlying the entire Trump economic agenda, really is this idea.
The focus is sustained 3% economic growth. We have been attacked stunningly by some folks on the left and even in the mainstream who say that that's an unreasonable assumption.
And Mulvaney is not having it.
The 1.9% growth rates that the previous administration assumed towards the end of their administration and the 1.9% growth rates for the entire 10-year window that the CBO growth rates the Congressional Budget Office assumes, are something we simply reject.
Which is, of course, their prerogative. But on the continuing theory that economic facts matter, I'm obliged to point out here that in 2016, the U.S. economy grew at an annual rate of 1.6%, which is not 3%. Here's Mulvaney on the growth gap.
The differences between 2% growth and 3% growth doesn't sound like much. In fact, I cringe when I hear people say it's only a 1% difference. It's not. It's a 50% difference, but that's just math.
Or if you put it another way, the economy has to grow more than 50% faster to reach the target growth that makes this budget plan work. So now on to the bigger picture, which is this. Most candidates for the White House campaign on an economic agenda, a coherent strategy of how much to spend or not spend and what to spend or not spend it on. And theoretically, the big economic priorities for this White House, tax cuts and health care, should be reflected in the budget. We called Aparna Mathur. She's a resident scholar in economic policy at the American Enterprise Institute to see whether she thinks it is.
The tax cuts and the deregulation is assumed to lead to high economic growth rates. But we know, you know, what's happening right now in the White House. We don't even know what tax reform means currently. You know, is this something that will actually pass through Congress? So to have a budget that's sort of predicated on the health reform, the tax reform that they're talking about, and to imagine that all of this would actually take place, just seems really undefined to me at this moment.
Jay Shambaugh, just to round it out, teaches at George Washington University. He was on the Council of Economic Advisors for President Obama.
The cost of the tax cuts isn't in the budget at all, because they at no point have come to kind of the specific detailed proposal that you would need to actually cost it out. They haven't said exactly where the numbers will break.
So on that theme, where the numbers are breaking, getting back to what Mick Mulvaney said about this budget and math, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore unpacks some of the other budgetary assumptions here.
President Trump's budget promises a lot.
He says he's going to significantly cut taxes and balance the budget in 10 years.
Howard Gleckman is with the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center.
And the truth is he can't do those things in this budget.
Well, he can if he makes three assumptions that very few people would consider reasonable. Assumption number one, Trump's proposed tax cuts and policy changes will spur 3% economic growth and more tax revenue.
3% growth isn't crazy, but it's very hopeful. You have to not only be good, but also lucky to get there.
Salim Firth is with the Conservative Heritage Foundation, and his assessment is generous. Larry Summers, former economic advisor to President Obama, called the growth assumption ludicrous. Trump budget assumption number two, reducing taxes by $2 trillion will not reduce government revenue. Howard Gleckman.
And the evidence is quite clear. We've tried this lots of times, and tax cuts don't pay for themselves.
And assumption number three is not really an assumption. It's just kind of an unexplained magic trick. After assuming the tax cuts will generate $2 trillion to pay for themselves, Trump's budget assumes that tax cuts will generate another $2 trillion to bring down the deficit.
But you can't do both.
Robert Bixby directs the Concord Coalition.
This budget has a roving $2 trillion that appears to be used twice. Wouldn't you like to have a roving $2 trillion?
Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney had an explanation for where this money would come from, simplifying the tax code to reduce tax evasion.
If it's a simpler tax code, okay, that people are more likely to pay.
It's true that the U.S. government misses out on nearly half a trillion dollars in revenue each year from unpaid taxes, but the idea that we'll just fix that is a big assumption. Maya McGinnis is president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget.
And since we don't have the details of their tax plan, it's impossible to analyze.
The devil is in the details, and so is the math. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.